You may be seated.
Sometimes life can be a howling wilderness. Sometimes you'll go through life and it seems like every day's a nice day and the sun's out and the wind's not blowing, there's no rain on the horizon. And there are other days, and here in the Antelope Valley, you'll get up sometimes and you'll see the clouds over there against the San Gabriels, and you'll realize that if those fog clouds are rolling in a little bit, probably the wind or the storm is coming just behind it. And sure enough, the howling winds will come, and we'll have days of physical wind. We'll have days of spiritual downpours, if you will, of trials and difficulties in our lives. In the chapter before us tonight, we read a song of Moses. We read in the first few verses his praise to Almighty God. We read in the next several verses, verses 4 through 18, about the faithfulness of God to Israel. We see in this passage tonight that Moses is calling the children of Israel to remember their relationship with God. I want you to notice what he says in verse 7. He tells them, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee." In a sense, he's calling them back to the old paths. He's saying, I want you to remember what God intended for you. When he called you out of Egypt, he wanted you to separate. He wanted you to claim the promises of God. He has a perfect plan and perfect will for your life. I like the phrase there in verse number 7. Remember the days of old. I want to say tonight, I'm thankful for Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm thankful for the way this church was founded as an old-fashioned, independent, old paths, Bible-believing Baptist church. And I believe sometimes it's vital that we remember the days of old and that we thank God for it. I want you to notice there in verse 7, young people, it says, ask thy father and he will show thee. You ought to thank God tonight if you're a young person with a mother or father in an old-fashioned church still carrying the old King James Bible, singing the old hymns of the faith, bringing you to hear the old-fashioned preaching on a Sunday night. I believe tonight that we ought to thank God for the faith of our fathers living still and how we thank God for it tonight. And Moses is just kind of reminiscing about what God had done in the lives of the children of Israel. And he's saying, let's not forget what God had done. Consider the generations that have gone on before us. Well, as we come down to verse number 9, we learn specifically concerning the heart of God for all of us as his children. And I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Now tonight, as we live in a desert land, and as we consider ministry in the howling wind, I want you to know about God's love for you. I want you to notice in the first place tonight that the Lord seeks us. The Lord is seeking us, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. I want you to know tonight that we are his portion. The Lord's portion is his people. That is, we are his possession. And I thank God for that tonight. We have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 135 and verse 4 says it this way, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure." Speaking again of the nation of Israel, Matthew 23, 37, Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." You see, the Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. But the Lord had a great desire for the children of Israel. And we see this tonight. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Moses was simply singing the song and reminding the children of Israel that they were the apple of God's eye, that they were his chosen people. But we can fast forward the tape tonight, and we can come to the old rugged cross, and we enter into the age of grace, the church age, and we are reminded as well that we tonight are the portion of God tonight. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar your people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous night. You know tonight that God refers to his people as a holy nation, as a peculiar people. He says, yes, they were my chosen ones when Moses called them out of Egypt land. But those of you that have been washed in the blood, you are a chosen people. You are a royal generation. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. How many of you can say amen to that tonight? You see, yes, the children of Israel were his chosen people. And the Gentiles in the Old Testament period would proselytize into the Jewish faith in order to have atonement for their sin. But now we live in the day of the new covenant, and no longer is the shedding of the blood of animals necessary. For the Lamb of God has shed his blood, and because of that, we tonight are his peculiar and chosen people. God, as the creator of the universe, could take anything for himself. Yet he chose Israel as his portion. He chose Jacob as his nation. My friend, I want you to understand tonight that God has a great love in his heart for you, and that God says, whosoever will may come. And by the sovereignty of God and by the grace of God, you and I sit here tonight as a part of his portion, as his people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hey, don't ever get over the fact that God loves you. Don't ever get over the fact that he is the prime mover in salvation. And the Bible says God is love, and the Bible says said his love called out for you and called out for me. We weren't looking for him. We were going our own way. We were without understanding. But God loved us and made us a part of his portion. We are his portion tonight. Oh, you say, but Pastor, I live in a desert place. That's exactly right. But you're the apple of his eye tonight. You're his portion tonight. Not only that, you are his pursuit. You're the one he wants. You're the one he wants fellowship with. You're the one he wants to enjoy time with. You're the one he pursues. He came to seek you. He came to save you. Verse number 10 speaks of it. He found him in a desert land. Would you notice the phrase? He found him in a desert land, out in an uninhabited wilderness, in a waste, howling wilderness. He saw the children of Israel. I believe tonight that God sees the Lancaster Baptist Church, and I believe tonight he's pursuing us. The question is, are you pursuing him? A.W. Tozer, in his classic book on the pursuit of holiness, challenged Christians to pursue God. There's no doubt in my mind that God created us for fellowship, that God saved us because he loves us. There's no doubt in my mind that God is pursuing a lost human race and that he loves us tonight. The question is, are we here tonight pursuing him? You see, Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we all are as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. But Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen, God has quickened you. That is to say, he has brought life to you where there was no life. You and I who were dead in our trespasses and sins, God pursued us, and God made us a part of his family. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to know that God sought us out and to know that God loves us. And God looked down from heaven and saw the children of Israel in a howling, barren land, and he called them unto himself. I'm glad tonight that the Lord is still seeking after people and still saving people even tonight. But notice, not only does the Lord seek us, but I see in this passage a simple fact. That is that the Lord supports us. That is that he will help and guide his people. Would you notice in verse 10 now, as we come to the heart of the message, and found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Now it's one thing to be found, and how many of you would agree with me it's a great thing to be found? Boy, if you've ever been lost, it's a great thing to be found. I remember years ago out on a hunting expedition in Colorado, I was about 9 years old, and I received every kind of a speech from everyone else in the camp. They said, whatever you do, you stick with the group, and you stay with the group, and don't go wandering off. And somehow along the way, I thought I saw something down a trail, and I started meandering and looking around, and before I knew it, I was separated from the group. Before I knew it, the sun had gone down. It was pitch black outside. Every critter that lived was beginning to look at me and snarl at me and smell me and want to eat me up for dinner. I knew it just as sure as I was in that forest. And I mean, for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, I wandered around bumping from tree to tree. I was as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. And I want to tell you what, when I heard my granddad's voice calling out my name, it was a wonderful thing to be found. I guarantee you that. It's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord has found us and that we're a part of His portion. But it's greater than that. For the Bible tells us in verse number 10, He not only found us in the desert land, but He wants to support us tonight. Now, someone might say tonight, well, all right, Pastor, so God brought me to the desert, and He transferred me here, and our job brought us here, or housing brought us here, and we're here, and I'm in the desert, but I just don't understand what God has for me in the desert. Well, I want to tell you three things God would like to do with your life in the desert tonight. The first thing God would like to do with your life tonight is He would like to lead you. He would like to lead you in the desert. He would like to show you the way to go in the desert. The Bible says that He led the children of Israel. For 40 faithful years, God led them along. He provided manna and quail and water and protection. Hosea 13 and verse 5, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of the great drought. My friend, I understand tonight that God knows me where I am, and God knows you where you are, and God wants to lead me in this place, and God wants to guide me in this place. I think of the songwriter years ago who wrote these words, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. I thank God that for 22 years He has led me. He has guided me. His word has been a light and a lamp to show me the way to go. And I thank God tonight He's still leading me and still leading you in this desert place. He leadeth me. I remember years ago going out soul winning to Edwards Air Force Base. I got in the car and we left 304 West Lancaster Boulevard and started heading out Avenue I. It was one of those blistery, excessively windy kind of days. I mean, the wind was coming. Not only was the wind coming, but you could see the thunderheads rolling in across the desert. You could even see lightning as it was striking the ground. I mean, it was going to be that kind of an afternoon. As I was driving out to Edwards Air Force Base on Avenue I, all of a sudden, a windstorm came in that was lifting up dirt off of the fields, and the dirt was coming in to the point you couldn't see 1 foot in front of you. As I very carefully drove down the road, a couple of cars at one intersection had already plowed into one another. I was determined to get out to the place to try to make the visit, and so I kept going slowly and carefully. The dust lifted just a little bit. As the dust lifted, I began to look down the road, and I noticed that there had already been a few telephone poles that had fallen down. And what I was noticing now was that the one closest to me was about ready to fall. I slammed on the brakes. I put the car in reverse. I got out of there as quickly as I could. As I came back in towards town, I looked into my rearview mirror, and one after another, those poles were falling and sparks were flying. And I thank God for His protection. I thank God that He was able to deliver me. I want you to understand something tonight. Our God is able to lead and deliver. It doesn't matter what the storm is. He wants to lead you tonight to safety and to His perfect will. Oh, you see, He wants to help us tonight by leading us. But notice, secondly, He supports us by teaching us. Notice in verse 10, He led him about. Notice, secondly, He instructed him. He instructed him. I thank God tonight for the instruction. I'm glad that we're a church that's still growing and learning tonight. We're here to learn tonight. We have midweek Bible studies so we can learn about God's Word and so we can have some instruction. And I had several dads who emailed me this past week. They said, "Pastor, the message on the home Wednesday night was what I needed as a dad and as a husband. I'm glad that I pastor men who are still teachable, men who don't have the attitude like they know it all. They've already arrived, been there, done that." I heard about a fellow who placed an ad in the newspaper for the Encyclopedia Britannica. He said, "For sale, Encyclopedia Britannica. No longer needed. Wife already knows everything." There are some people like that, you know. They already have all the answers. They don't even need to have an encyclopedia. They don't need that. But I want you to know tonight, if you're honest, you still need the instruction of God. If we're honest, we still need to learn the way that we should go. I thank God that He's instructed us. I think about the early days at Lancaster Baptist Church and just trying to learn about things like music and things like preaching and soul winning and then starting a Christian school and God teaching us and helping us along the way and bringing folks like Brother Hauk and others to come. And I think about the building programs and back when I had hair. And how we'd get into some of those times. And boy, I felt like I didn't know a thing. And I felt as though sometimes I couldn't go on. And it seemed like during those building programs, that day after day, I went from dumb to dumber to dumbest. It just was a time when you realized how much you did not know. But during those times, God kept teaching me and God kept helping me. Now, I can talk about cantilever balconies, and now I can talk about non-bearing walls, and now I can help you understand about the structural engineering or some of the other aspects, and I still have a lot more to learn, but I'm just saying, by the grace of God, He just brings you along one step at a time. Oh, listen tonight, parents, we don't have all the answers, and sometimes we may wonder, what in the world do I do in this situation? Look, at God's not looking for perfection tonight, but He is looking for a parent that will still learn and still say, "Lord, I'm here. I need your help. I need your guidance, Lord. I'm in the desert land and the wind is blowing and the dust is blowing around and I don't know what to do for my wife or for my husband. I don't know what to do about this situation, Lord. The wind is howling and it seems like everything's about to crash and the telephone poles are coming down." But Moses said, "Hey, God was leading us and God was teaching us all along the way." I've had some trials in these 22 years that, like I said this morning concerning the subject of the Sea of Galilee, sometimes the trials are unexpected. I mean, they never taught me in Bible college about some of these things, and they never said that you might have certain responses to preaching and certain responses to a stand that you might take. And there have been trials, and yet there have been times when you just get up at maybe at 1 or 2 in the morning, you can't sleep, there's things on your mind, you're going through it, and you open up the book of Psalms, and all of a sudden God begins to teach you, and He begins to comfort you, and He tells you He's your refuge, He's your comfort, He's your guide, He's your shepherd, and you get up and take a shower, and you decide to go on another day. Why? Because God is still instructing, and leading, and guiding, even when the desert winds are blowing, even when you don't understand what's going on, He's there to teach us and to help us along the way. I remember starting West Coast Baptist College and looking back, it may have been the most foolish thing from a human perspective. And all I did was simply say, "God, if you'll guide and help us, we'll do the very best we can." And we're still learning every day, but God is helping us along the way. Hey, listen tonight, if God be for us, who can be against us, my friend? Oh, He says, "I want to lead you and I want to teach you." Psalm 32 and verse 7, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest ye come near unto me." God says, now listen, He says in Psalm 32, if you won't be like a dumb horse or a dumb donkey, I can help you get somewhere. A lot of Christians are in the desert and the wind is blowing and the dust is blowing and their hair is getting messed up and their car is getting dirty and their family's struggling and they are frustrated. And one of the reasons is they're not letting God lead them through the trial. They're not allowing the Spirit of God to work in their heart. We used to have a horse on the farm in Colorado. And it was a little red, actually kind of a Shetland pony is what it was. It was the most stubborn animal on four hoofs is what it was. You'd go out and try to be nice to it, it would kick you. Try to feed it, it would bite you. It didn't want to have anything to do with people. We'd go out there as kids and try to have fun with it, that little thing. It was just an angry, angry horse. I don't know what had happened. I don't know if his dad left him, his mom left him, both left him. I don't know if his last pastor was imbalanced. I don't know what his problem was, but he had lots of problems. And we'd go out and go to that red horse and try to be friendly with it. He would not be friendly, not be friendly at all. Now, I remember the day that we decided, my brother and I, we were going to saddle it up and give it a whirl. We worked and worked, and we finally got a saddle on that. We made one little mistake. We didn't cinch it up real good at the bottom where you're supposed to really cinch it up. We left that belt just a little too loose, and being the older brother, I got on the horse first, and I got up on that little Shetland pony. I may have been 11 or 12 years old, and I did what I always saw John Wayne do, man. I kicked that thing as hard as you could kick it. Man, it took off into the bean field, and I was riding high. I mean, I was just going off on that bean field, having a great time, until all of a sudden the saddle started to turn. I mean, slowly but surely, that saddle turned all the way down. I got my boot caught in that stirrup, and I guess for about a mile or so, that horse pulled me and jerked me through those bean fields. And I'm telling you what, finally, when he did stop, I was bruised and bleeding and crying, and that horse had stepped on me several times. Finally, I got my boot out, and if that didn't make things any worse, when I was trying to brush myself off, that horse turned around and kicked me right in the seat of pants one more time. Said, what was all that about? God getting me ready for the ministry. You know, sometimes you try to help somebody. You say, want to have marriage counseling? You say, well, do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Well, have you been in church? No, I don't come to church, but I want you to take my last year of no church attendance and just in a 30-minute counseling make our marriage better. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes, if we're not careful, the Lord says in Psalm 32, we can be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. But God said, hey, I didn't bring you out here to the desert. I didn't drop you here in the Antelope Valley just to leave you alone. He said, I brought you out of here so that when the wind blows and the dust is blowing, I'm going to lead you and I'm going to instruct you and I'm going to show you the way to go. How many of you are glad that God didn't just drop you out here, but He's leading you and teaching you tonight, you see? But what else does he say in verse 10? He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness he led him about. He instructed him. Notice this third aspect. The Bible says he is keeping us. He is keeping us as the apple of his eye. He wants to lead us. He wants to teach us. He wants to keep us. The apple of his eye, that's the most tender part of the pupil. He says, that's what you are to me. He says, you're the center of my attention. He said, I'm not going to lose sight of you. I'm going to keep track of you. I know your address. I know your needs. I know what you're going through. I'm going to stay there with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to teach you. You're going to be the one that I keep as the apple of my eye. If you would turn over to 1 Peter for just a moment, familiar passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, I want you to see that God's still in the keeping business. How many of you are thankful tonight that your salvation is secure in the Lord tonight? No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see here in 1 Peter 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's a good amen right there tonight. If you're saved, my friend, you've made a reservation in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. But now notice verse 5, 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are, what's the next word say? Kept. Let's say it again. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. My friend, I want you to understand tonight that the Lord is supporting you. He's leading you tonight, and He's teaching you tonight, and He's keeping you tonight, and we are kept tonight, not by the power of the church, not by the power of the finance. We're not kept by the power of the government. Thank God for that. But we are kept by the power of God tonight. Oh, my friend, this world is not my home. I am just a passing through. I thank God for that tonight. I thank God that I am kept by the power of God. Hey, if you were honest tonight, if it was up to you or me to keep ourselves saved, we'd be just like Jimmy Swaggart, saved one day, lost one day, saved one day, lost one day, not sure in the in-between time. I'm glad tonight that I'm not kept by my own good works, but that I am kept by the power of God tonight. He keeps us tonight. Oh, you see, the Lord not only seeks us out of the desert, but the Lord supports us in the desert. He said, now, I know you're in a desert land, but now that you're here with me, I'm going to lead you. And now that you're here with me, I want you to know I'm going to teach you. Now that you're here with me, you'll be the apple of my eye. He said, I'll rain manna down from heaven. He said, I'll give you a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He said, I'm going to give you water from the rock. He said, whatever you need, I want you to know. I didn't bring you out here to let you starve to death. I brought you out here to bless you. And I want to tell you tonight, my friend, God did not bring you out here simply to work for Northrop or Boeing or to have a house that's a little less expensive or a little more expensive or whatever the case might be. God did not bring you out here for the earthly vain reasons, but my friend, God brought us here that we might serve Him and love Him and learn of Him and follow Him, that He might show us the way to go in the midst of the desert. God is still doing great things in desert places tonight. Oh, in desert places, He seeks us. In desert places, He supports us. But I want you to see finally tonight that the Lord not only seeks us and supports us, but I want you to see this. The Lord sends us. The Lord sends us. Notice this, if you would, in verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord did lead him, alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Oh, tonight the Lord sends us. As a mother eagle teaches her young to fly, the Lord helps us to be faithful in serving Him. First, the eagle stirs the nest, and she'll begin to stir that nest. And sometimes that's what it takes for us as well. Sometimes we have to have our comfort zone stirred a little bit to get out and pray. And sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone to tithe or be a witness for the Lord. And the Lord many times will stir the nest and He'll begin to help us to understand that the stirring is that we might be serving Him. Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. My friend, eagles are meant to fly. And it's a beautiful thing to see an eagle flying. And God said, I didn't bring you out here to the desert so you could walk around on the ground, so that you could wallow like a Mojave green rattlesnake. He said, I brought you out here to teach you how to fly. I brought you out here to teach you how to be of use to me in my service. And like the eagle, we'll take the young, and she'll take the young up on her wings and then drop the eagle. And talk about being out of a comfort zone, and let that eaglet try to learn how to fly. And just before destruction, she may swoop down and bring it back up again. So God says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to send you from the desert. I'm going to use you. Oh, you see, she not only goes up and takes the young, but notice also she will save the young. The Bible says that she will take them in verse 11, and she will bear them on her wings. I wonder tonight, are you the kind of Christian that is willing to let God take you out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to let God, if you will, send you into some flight of service for the Lord? You say, but Pastor, I'm afraid I might fall flat on my face. I'm afraid I might splat right down on the ground. Oh, I don't think that Mother Eagle ever intended to let the baby eaglet fall smack on the ground. No. She came right under her and brought her up every single time. But you know, friend, we must be willing to leave the nest and our comfort zone in order to be greatly used of God. There's never been a great thing done for God where there wasn't some discomfort in the first place. And we see that God has brought us to the desert that we might fly and be servants for His in ministry. I love Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm so thankful tonight that God has brought us into the desert, not to abandon us, but to teach us how to run and not be weary, to teach us how to mount up with wings as eagles, and to send us forth like a mighty army, reaching a community for Christ, sending missionaries around the world, reaching places for Christ, like Brother Clark Graham tonight. And I want you to see it tonight, and I want you to understand from verse number 10 that He found Israel in a desert land, I mean in a waste howling wilderness. And I want you to be encouraged the next time you get up and it's a little windy and you come home and the gales have reached 60 or 70 miles an hour and no longer can you see where you're going, and you can see the neighbor's laundry and the neighbor's children flying across over to the park and the wind is a howling. I want you to stop right then, and instead of complaining, I want you to say, God must be about to do something good in this howling, windy desert place. Lord, lead me. Lord, teach me. Lord, keep me. Lord, guide me in this place. I know you've got something you want to do in my life. Oh, my friend, I want you to understand, if you can learn how to fly in the desert, you can fly anywhere. Every once in a while, I'll fly into an airport where there's a lot of wind. And I mean to tell you, I've been in a few of those situations. The worst one I can think of was flying into Salt Lake City several years ago. And I mean to tell you what, I was buckled in but a little loose. And I mean, we hit a pocket and I went up. My head hit the cupboard up above me. Some folks weren't buckled in. They were flying everywhere. All the bins were flying down. People's stuff was flying all around. The stewardess was vomiting. Brethren, when the stewardess vomits, we're having a rough flight. I was praying the rosary. I mean, I was as nervous as I could be. I'm telling you what, it was a rough, I was sick. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I got a track out and started telling the guy next to me, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? For about 5 or 6 minutes, I was wondering what in the world was going to happen. I was doing a little texting to Terry, sweetie, I love you. Kiss the kids. Send, it wasn't going. I was wondering to myself, Brother Schmidt, if the plane goes down, will it send when it gets down there? I was thinking to myself, will they find my Bible? Will they find my stuff even? I was having that kind of a flight. Tell you what, we got down, finally landed on a snowy runway in Salt Lake City. As I was walking out, the captain was there, and I said to him, I said, that was really something. He said, yeah. He said, sometimes it's just like bumps in the road. I said, bumps in the road? How about Grand Canyon in the road? He said, well, yeah, it's pretty bumpy. I said, the stewardess was vomiting. He said, all right, it was a rough flight. I'm telling you what, I was just glad he got us down. You know what? They take those pilots, they put them through some training. They get them in some turbulence. They put them in the simulators, and they send the worst of the worst their way before they put them in that cockpit. I'm going to tell you something. I believe there's some young people growing up in this howling desert land. At Howling Desert Baptist Church. And they're watching some of you moms and dads go through some howling desert trials and stay faithful. And they're watching some of us stay here for decades at a time. And they're learning right now, these little eaglets, these teenagers, they're learning how to fly tonight. And folks, if they can fly in the desert, I believe they can fly just about anywhere God sends them. God is seeking tonight a people for His portion. And when God calls His portion out, He says, now, I'm going to support you. I'm going to lead you and teach you, and you'll be the apple of my eye. And He says, then, as I supply for you, He says, then, I'm going to send you. And I'm going to send you back to Northrop and Boeing, but you're going to know something more than just how to fix an airplane. You're going to know how to lead a soul to Christ. And I'm going to send some around the world, and I'm going to send some to Nugent Street and some to Rancho Vista and other places, knocking doors and telling others how to be saved. Oh, God does great things in the desert place. If we're not like the dumb horse or donkey, if we're willing to be led, God will lead us all the way. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us to a desert place. Thank you for leading us, teaching us, and keeping us. I pray tonight, Lord, that every single one of us in this room would have a heart tonight to be led, instructed, and kept. And I pray that you would teach us to fly like an eagle. Help us not to be bound to griping and grumbling, wallowing around like a snake in the sand. Help us like eagles to fly for you.